John, the announcement's already made. Express my appreciation for your presence tonight. As already been expressed, we have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about the topic on the board behind me, to whom shall we go? I'm reading as a basis for the study, John chapter 6. I want to begin reading with verse 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said therefore unto you, that no man can come unto me except they're given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's reading through verse 68 of John chapter 6. I'm capitalizing on that little phrase, to whom shall we go? When these people made up their minds to walk no more with the Lord, the point was, to whom shall you go? And there is no other place, as you think about that, right? And so I want to explore that with you. There are some things to which we need to know about, but to whom are we going to go to find out about that? One thing that we need tonight, we need what the Bible refers to as the captain of our souls. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Hebrew writer writing about this particular subject said in Hebrews 2 and in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons in glory, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The Bible talks about then the captain of our salvation. Who is that? The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. When you think about a captain, you think maybe about an army. Well, there are soldiers that the Bible talks about in that respect. In the book of 2 Timothy 2, 2, 3, and 4, he talks about that we're soldiers and how that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We being the soldiers and Christ being the captain, then we need to listen and take orders from the captain of our salvation. But there's a second thing that we need. We need somebody to be the head in order to direct us in the proper direction. Ryan just read to us a few minutes ago from the book of Ephesians, didn't he? How that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, like the husband is the head of the wife. Also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 22-23, talking about Christ, how that God put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Also in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and in verse 18, Christ is referred to as the head of the body, the church. And so we need a spiritual head. Now, a lot of religious bodies have heads. They're human heads. And they often die. But this head, the Bible indicates, never does do that. He's already in heaven, living forever. So, to whom shall we go then for the head of the New Testament church? The answer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Writing the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul goes into detail to talk about the headship, how that there's God, Christ, man, and woman, how that God's overall, like Ephesians 6 and 4 says, that there's one God, the Father of all, who filleth all and in all. And so we've got the captain of our souls and the spiritual head of the New Testament church. But there's a third thing that we need in regards to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go as our Redeemer? Man needs to be redeemed. He needs somebody to pay the price for the sins that he's committed. Job said one time in Job 19:25, I know. Job, what is it that you know? That my Redeemer liveth. We sing a song like that, don't we, Ray, sometimes? My Redeemer liveth. What does the word redeem mean? Well, when you think of the word redeem, you think of the fact that somebody paid the price. Maybe there's a little coupon in a magazine or a newspaper. And they'll say, take this coupon to the store and you can redeem it. You thought that was free, didn't you? It's not. Somebody picks up the tab, I guarantee you. Right? Now, when you read the word redeem in the Bible, it means somebody paid the price for your redemption. Who paid that price? The Bible said we are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Peter said, in 1 Peter 1:18, that we are redeemed not by corruptible things like silver and gold. What is it that redeems us, Peter? We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We need to be redeemed. In the book of Ephesians 1 and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, indicates that redemption is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to have redemption, guess where you have to be? In Christ, where that redemption is. Paul, writing the Romans, in Romans chapter 3, and in verse 24, saying, being justified freely by his grace, watch it now, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To whom shall we go to be redeemed? The answer, it's in Christ. He's our Redeemer. Also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and in verse 15, how the apostle writes so much about Christ and what he's done for mankind. But he said in Hebrews 9:15, for of this cause he, that is Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, now watch it, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What that saying is, that Jesus, in the shedding of his blood, he also shed the blood for the redemption of the sins of the people in the Old Testament. You ever wonder how those people got forgiveness of their sins in the Old Testament? You know, they offered those animal sacrifices, right? They offered those sacrifices every year, according to Hebrews 10, 1 to 3. And those sins were remembered every year. Say, here's a man's sins. Okay, he offered his animal sacrifices, and those sins were just kind of put over here, plus the ones he committed that year, and they just kept going and going until Jesus died on the cross. And that text is saying that Jesus shed his blood for the redemption of the transgressions of those under the first testament. In other words, and I've said this to you before, I hope you remember it, that when Jesus died on the cross, the blood that he shed flowed both ways. It flowed backward and forgave the sins of these people under the Old Testament. That's the only way they could get forgiveness. Because Hebrews 10 says that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Hebrews 10 verse 4. And then the blood flows forward and forgives the sins of people today who obey the gospel. And so that word redemption works both ways, both Old Testament people and New Testament as well. The Lord, to whom shall we go for redemption? The answer, begin to see what the answer is going to be. Christ, the Son of God. We need redemption. But there's something else we need. We need somebody to make intercession for us. You know, when you pray, like we heard tonight, there's an intercessor involved. Who's that intercessor? We pray through somebody, right? That's the reason that Robin said at the close of his prayer, in the name of Christ. Christ is that intercessor, that go-between. You see, say, here's man and here's God, and Jesus Christ is the go-between. He's the mediator between man and God Almighty. And so we need an intercessor. The Bible points out in the book of Hebrews 7 and in verse 25, when the apostle wrote about that, look how he said that. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now watch the little statement. Seeing he ever liveth to do what? To make intercession for them. Christ intercedes. He pleads our cause with God the Father. That's reading you read in other references, things like that. For an example, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, this time verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and watch this one, who also maketh what? Intercession for us. He intercedes. He's like someone who stands between two parties trying to work out something. He's a mediator. In fact, there's only one mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, we pray through Christ. We're often told by religious people, you pray through the Virgin Mary. Have you ever read that in the Bible? I don't think I ever did. Christ is the mediator. He's the intercessor. Lord, to whom shall we go? For our intercessor, Jesus Christ, God's Son. But there's something else we need tonight. That is, we need a teacher. We need to be taught. John 6:44 says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28:19, Jesus said to the apostles, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what the next word is? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Lord's people need to be taught. We are what we have been taught. So we need a teacher. In John 3, in John 3, verse 2, remember Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night, inquiring about the new birth? You know what he said in John 3, 2? I know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these things except the Lord. That's the point he's making. Jesus is that master teacher. That's when the disciples said in Luke 11 and 1, Lord, teach us how to pray. Acts 1, 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to what? Teach. Lord, to whom shall we go? For the master teacher. You got it. Jesus Christ, God's Son. If you want to see some great teaching, read the New Testament. Read the Sermon on the Mount, for an example. Matthew 5 through 7, where he laid down those great principles that we need to know about. Sermon of all sermons. The Sermon on the Mount. Often the Bible would say that Jesus would be found in the temple or some of the synagogue teaching them. If you want to know how to teach the Bible, read the Lord's teachings. Read how he taught folks. He knew how to do it. Lord, to whom shall we go? For our teacher, Jesus Christ, God's Son. One more point, this sermon's yours. You know what's next? If you had the marker, what'd you put up here? Just think about it and see if we're on the same page.
To whom shall we go for our Savior?
Is that what you were thinking? Anybody? Nobody? To whom shall we go for our Savior? Let me give you some passages. Let's start in Matthew. What do you say? Matthew 1:21. It was said concerning Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall what? Save his people from their sins. In Luke 2:11, the text says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Savior. Luke 19:10. In 16 words. You know what he says? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. He's the Savior. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He said of whom he was chief, the chief of sinners. We just heard Ryan read a few minutes to us ago about Ephesians 5:23, how that Christ is the Savior of the body. The body being the church, of course, Colossians 1:18. On the day of Pentecost, for the first time the gospel was proclaimed. All the apostles preached. Peter's is recorded in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 22 through verse 36. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. That's how the sermon started. The sermon was very short and to the point. He preached that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was crucified by the hands of sinful men, that he was buried, he rose from the dead, and ascended on high. And these people on Pentecost were accused of crucifying God's Son, his only begotten Son. The Bible said when they heard this what? This sermon. They were cut to the heart, or pricked in the heart, and asked men and brethren, what shall we do? They are already believers, Acts 2:36 indicates. So what should a believer do? They were called upon in Acts 2:38 to repent of their sins and to be baptized. What for? The remission of those sins. That's how sins are remitted. If you've never been baptized scripturally, your sins have not been remitted. You still got them all. And you don't have to be that way. It's available when you hear, believe, and obey the gospel. Now, what happened to these people on the day of Pentecost? In Acts 2:41, it said they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. That's how many were baptized on the day of Pentecost, by the way. They that gladly received his word. What did the Lord do with these people? What did he call them? The last verse of Acts 2. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? Saved. Christ is the Savior. You can't read all these passages and not understand that. It's just too simple. So I'll go back to the story I read to you at the beginning in John 6. When the disciples went and no more walk with the Lord. And the question was asked, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's your answer. See it? Jesus Christ, God's Son. To whom shall we go as the captain of our soul? To whom shall we go as the head of the body of the church? Christ. To whom shall we go as our Redeemer? Christ. Who's the intercessor? To whom shall we go for that intercession? Christ. Whom shall we go for our Savior? Christ. And who's the master teacher? Can't miss it, can you? Jesus Christ, God's Son. Should you be in this audience tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel? You've heard it, haven't you? Do you believe it? But have you obeyed it? That's the question. That's an individual thing. That's something everybody has to decide for themselves, right?
Where are you going to go? That's the only place you can go. To have all these things. Christ, right? Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. We stand here tonight to extend the invitation one more time this side of eternity. Giving you one more opportunity to obey the gospel. A hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. Or maybe you've already been in the church, but you've fallen away and you want to come back to straighten up your life for repentance, confession, and prayer. Let's sing, right? I invite you to come right now.